You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Friday, January 19th, and we're talking Cubs baseball today with our very own Kerry Muscat, Cubs reporter for MLB.com. Kerry, as always, we thank you for the time on this chilly Friday, and some cool things this week to talk about. Wilson Contreras made some rather bold statements which ruffled the feathers of Yadier Molina, and the two went back and forth a little bit on Twitter, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the ever-popular topic of just who the heck is going to lead off for this Cubs team, and Chris Bryant has kind of thrown his hat into the ring, suggesting it's something that he would like to do. And we'll talk about Chili Davis and your discussion with him in terms of how he's going to approach his duties in his first season as Cubs hitting coach here in 2018. But I want to start off with a re-signing that, you know, it's not a big earth-shattering signing, but it's something that definitely fortifies this new-look bullpen for the Cubs in 2018. That is Brian Dunsing. And I know that, Kerry, we talked about Brian back in, I think, November, maybe early December. He and his wife did a wonderful thing. They had a great fundraiser in their native Nebraska. At that time, obviously, he was still out there as a free agent. That's no longer the case as he is back with the Cubs. Great, great numbers in 2017. 2.74 ERA, nearly a K per inning. Do you anticipate any more moves with this new-look bullpen, or was Dunsing, do you think, kind of the final piece of this puzzle?
Well, Dunsing is most likely the final piece to the puzzle here, although as we talk on Friday, that it's not officially official. The team has yet to formally announce it, but I think it's just a matter of him passing the physical, and he's already talked about it. I reached out to him, and he's confirmed it, but it's just not official. What I find interesting with the addition of Dunsing is that if the Cubs don't add another starting pitcher between now and the start of the year, it could make them a little more willing to have Mike Montgomery go from the bullpen to the rotation. And then you would have Dunsing and Justin Wilson and maybe Dario Alvarez as left-handed options in the bullpen. But you could slide Montgomery over to the rotation, which is, one, something Montgomery wants to do, and two, something that Joe Maddon has said that he thinks that he could do. So I think there might be a little trickle-down effect here, not just having a veteran presence in Dunsing, who they like, who was steady for them last year, but also it might have some other ramifications on the rest of the pitching.
Absolutely, and Montgomery is a guy that, you know, he's the type of guy that so many teams covet now, that has that versatility. He can relieve, he can start. And do you think that, do the Cubs view Montgomery right now as something of a security blanket, to the point where obviously they would love to sign that fifth starter, but it's not a pressing need because they do, like you said, have that plan B? Is that kind of how they're approaching this right now?
I know earlier we talked about, you know, projected starting rotations, and I think I projected Eddie Butler as the number five guy. But in talking to people at the convention and seeing how this off season has gone, it looks like Montgomery would have a better chance to be that number five guy because they just haven't signed anybody else.
Right, and to have him available to take on multiple roles is something that is obviously a huge benefit. And, of course, Mike Montgomery will always be the answer to one of the greatest trivia questions in Cubs history: who is the guy that threw the pitch that clinched the 2016 World Series? None other than Mike Montgomery. So we'll see what happens there. And, Kerry, something I'm really anxious to get your take on. Of course, we saw earlier this week Wilson Contreras caused a little bit of a stir. I don't think that was intentional on his part, but he made a pretty bold statement when he says, you know, one day I aspire to be better than Yadier Molina and Buster Posey, the guys that kind of set the gold standard for catchers in baseball the past, you know, 5 or 10 years. And Yadier Molina, that ruffled his feathers a little bit. He's never one to remain quiet, so he kind of fired back on Twitter and said something along the lines of, you know, hey, you're good, you're talented, but respect the ranks. You know, you have a ways to go to get to this level. Contreras pulled back a little bit and said, look, I'm not looking to disrespect anybody, much less Yadier Molina. I simply want to, you know, aspire to get to that level and to be as good as those guys one day. It's all a little silly, a little juvenile, but it's something that gives us a topic to discuss in the middle of January. That's not a bad thing. But what I want to find out from you is, knowing Wilson as you do, he's a young guy, obviously loads of talent and potential, but is he a quieter guy? Is he a guy that is a little more outspoken? Did the initial comments from him kind of catch you off guard? What was your reaction to it?
No, the comments didn't catch me off guard, because what would Cubs fans want him to say? Would they want him to say, no, I want to be just a mediocre catcher? Mm. I mean, he's putting Molina and Posey up on a pedestal and saying, those are the top catchers. That's who I want to be, better than those guys. In any profession, in any walk of life, wouldn't it make sense that you would want to be the best? And that's really what it boils down to. And the fact, I don't think Contreras said anything wrong. I just think that Molina kind of overreacted. And I know Wilson, to his credit, he's down in Florida now working out, and he arranged to have a video posted to try and clear up any miscommunication, because he has nothing but respect for Yachty. I mean, that should be clear from the start. It's just a matter of he would like to be, someday he would like to be as good as Yachty Molina.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all. And I agree with you that I think, and most people agree, that Yachty overreacted a little bit. And of course, you know, like you said, if you're a Cubs fan, that's what you want to hear. You know, not only do you want to be as good as Yachty Molina and Buster Posey, you want to be better. And that's what you love to hear from the players that you root for and the reason you buy tickets and root for your team. So I thought the whole thing was a little bit overblown on Yachty's part, but Contreras, for his part, like you said, he's trying to clear the air and make sure that there was no disrespect, extending the olive branch. But, I love the confidence projecting from him, and something to look forward to for Cubs fans, hopefully for many years to come, from the youngster Wilson Contreras. Kerry, shifting gears here, the ever-popular topic of week to week as to just who is going to lead off for this Cubs team. You know, we hear different names thrown out there. We've talked about Kyle Schwarber at length, and now it seems that Chris Bryant at the Cubs convention conveyed his desire to want to take on this role. And I think Joe Maddon, for his part, is still kind of non-committal. He's just saying, you know, hey, it's something we gotta work out, and you know, these problems tend to figure themselves out. But Chris Bryant, pretty, you know, out there and saying that he would love to take on that role. So, Kerry, from your perspective, tell us reasons why, you know, this could work and reasons why it may not work, given Bryant's makeup as a player.
Well, it could work just because Chris is one of their leaders in terms of on-base percentage. It could work because he does draw a lot of walks. It could work because he's very patient at the plate. It could work for a lot of reasons. He's, you know, great base runner. The reason I don't think it'll work is because I think they like having somebody on base ahead of him, so that he gets a few more RBI opportunities. So, and he's very good in that situation. So I really, it's a topic that's been discussed ad nauseum, to be perfectly honest. I think I'd like to see the roster when we get to spring training and to see who's there and who Maddon might choose from. I mean, I think the sleeper in all this discussion has been Zobrist.
Yeah.
Zobrist told me during the convention that he feels better now than he has in 5 or 6 years. And he might be the one who will, when he's in the lineup, he'd be at the top of the order the most. So it's just something that will be discussed. It's not something that I think the Cubs are losing any sleep over. Mm-hmm. And we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, and Ben Zobrist, that's the interesting name because, you know, between 2015 and 2016, he played baseball to the bitter end, you know, winning 2 World Series in a row with 2 different teams. That's a lot of baseball. That's a lot of wear and tear. on a guy who's well into his mid to late 30s now, but hopefully his batteries are recharged and we know what he can do when he's healthy, when he's focused, and when the batteries are fresh. And maybe that is the answer that the Cubs will ultimately get to for the 2018 season. But I think we can all agree it's going to be a very interesting process. Kerry, to begin to come down the home stretch here, I know you recently had a discussion with Chili Davis, who's in his first year as Cubs hitting coach after a couple of years with the Red Sox as their hitting coach. Now, one thing that kind of stuck out to me in your discussion with him is that he said that he brings a mentality to hitting as opposed to a philosophy. And I found that rather interesting, that distinction, that designation. Kind of explain what he meant by that. You know, where does he kind of correlate that difference between a mentality and a philosophy towards hitting?
I think a philosophy would be more maybe, and this would be a little extreme, but maybe trying to get everybody to kind of one sort of cookie cutter style. I think the philosophy is something that Joe Maddon is looking for to help the Cubs in terms of improving their clutch hitting and their average with runners on base. Is he wants them to have the right mentality when they're at the plate in game certain situations so that they can come through, as opposed to just going up and having an at bat. I think it's more the mental approach. It's more, what do you do in this situation? You know, you're not just up there trying to get on base. You're trying to, you know, move the runners over. You're trying to get them in, that kind of thing. It's just, I liked how Maddon put it. He said it was more of a graduate school approach. And when you consider that the Cubs are still very young, you know, maybe it's time that they've been coming up the baseball ladder very quickly. So you've got players like Bryant and Russell and Rizzo and Baez, and here's somebody who's saying, you know, now it's time for them to go from their high school, college, so to speak, and now they're into the graduate school, and Chili Davis is the instructor.
Yeah, very interesting. And as we so often see, the difference between being a good team and a great team is, you know, the sac flies, the two-out RBIs, you know, moving a guy from second to third. It's those little things that don't show up in the box score. They don't jump off the page. But when you add them all up, that can be the difference between, you know, five more wins here or there and a wild card or a division crown. So it's the little things that make the big difference, as the saying goes, in so many walks of life, and especially in baseball too. Good place to wrap it up on this Friday. Kerry Muscat, our thanks to you as always for the time, and we'll do it again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.